So I'm proud to say that I never, ever got a bad performance review, except one time I did. Amidst all the years that I had been in business, 25, 30 years, always at least target performance or above target for the hard work that I did, because I had a can-do attitude. I was results-oriented. I was a high performer. And then this happened. When you're a high performer, the work just comes at you. You open up your laptop and dread the hundreds of emails of activity that you have to get done, and you find yourself simply overwhelmed and burnt out. And that became my demise for this one performance review. I did not get some of the strategic work done, for which it didn't feel very good. And so think about your own situation. While time blocking, learning how to better delegate and delete things that are not important seems so simple, in your career, if you're a business owner, if you're the CEO, did anybody ever teach you those skills? Though it seems simple, it's not. And so I am so excited to have this conversation with Denise Kagan. She's going to share some basic insights with you of things that you can action on right now to move you from a place of overwhelm to doing the work you truly enjoy and being effective. Let's listen.
So if it's a matter of struggling with time, you know, systemizing some things, for instance, blocking your calendar for this hour for only email returns and turning your email off during those other hours so that you can actually focus on those other things. So that's my first suggestion, is the calendar blocking. Very simple, straightforward. That's not new advice to anybody. But if they're not ready, that's what I would do. As they're prepping to get ready, I would start making a list. So I always tell people there's three types of items you put on the list. One is that you start with the things that you just really don't like to do, okay? That don't require specialized expertise that you have, okay? Second, highly repetitive things. Those are usually going to be the first things that you would give off, simply because it creates that time balance very quickly. The third item is social media. Honestly, most business owners are spending 6 to 10 hours per month on it. And so that's an easy release of hours.
Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals.
Hello, I am Deb Coviello, founder of Illumination Partners, and I am grateful that you have joined us on another episode of the Drop-In CEO podcast. You know, my business journey takes me to meet so many different people, and I get to bring their insights and inspiration to you. If you like this episode, all I ask is that you subscribe, rate, review, share with others, so we can continue to bring you great programming. And today, I am honored to have my fantastic guest, Denise Kagan. Denise was introduced to me in a very special way. A quick little shout out to the people at Interview Valet. I came to learn about what her business is, but I think what is so important is about the purposeful work that she does. Her company, DCA Virtual Business Support, offers virtual assistance for administrative and creative activities for growing businesses. When you offload these functions, it enables small business owners to develop and expand their organizations. And most importantly, she believes in small businesses and the families they support. She is so dedicated to helping small business owners attain growth and exceed their goals. So with that, Denise, I would love to welcome you onto the show.
Thank you, Deb. I really appreciate you asking me to be here today.
So I'm excited for this. I think what is really important, though, is for our listeners to really listen to your personal journey, because sometimes it's more important about how did you arrive at the work you're doing. So if you could just share a little bit about yourself personally, your business journey, and how you're helping small businesses now.
Sure. To start at the very beginning, but very briefly, I came from a large, very large family and a very poor family. And there were things that I saw that I noticed that my siblings, my nieces, they all felt stuck, like they wanted to be a cashier at Food Lion. That was ambition. And to me, that just didn't feel right. So I was the first child in the family out of the 12 to get a college degree. I moved away from kind of the basis of where the family was. And I started forging my path on my own because I didn't want to get stuck in those ways. I get that you're dealt a certain hand when you're born and that is what it is. But I do believe people have the power to change their forward facing by the things that they choose to do at that point. So that's sort of what led me to where I am now. Through that journey, I'm on my third career. First career, I was a QA manager at Coca-Cola. Very much enjoying that. Learned a ton about how to manage an operations there. Learned a good bit about HR there as well. My second career was a cleaning company. And partially because it was low-hanging fruit, it was easy to start with no capital. And I had a built-in mentor, my sister in Virginia. She owned a commercial cleaning company for years. I very quickly surpassed her and started learning, you know, all these different things in a business owner capacity. I learned marketing. I learned more of the interview and hiring process, tax planning, and you know, things that I never thought I would ever touch upon. Then I sold that company in 2011 and immediately started this company. So this company also has had a sort of unique journey. I started the company with it being personal and professional assistance. And about 2 years, I had a lot of fun with the personal assistance and helping people, shopping for them with their credit cards. You know, that's always fun. But about 2 years in, I realized, okay, this isn't a replicatable model, or at least not one that I want to sustain, okay? Because going back to my days when I owned a cleaning company, I had people in people's homes. I didn't want the same model. So I was looking for something a little bit more professional services. So I expanded on the administrative services and the remote function of it. The company has always been virtual and always been remote. So we expanded on that, and we've had our growing pains where we've expanded a little too far, contracted, came back in, and landed today where we are with both our admin side and our creative side of the company.
Tell me a little bit more, admin side and creative side. Tell me more about what that creative side is as well.
So the creative side of the company, you know, when we were doing the admin work and, you know, traditional admin, what those items might be is the same thing that your office manager or receptionist or secretary on site might do. So a lot of times people are saying, oh, and do you do social media? Oh, and do you do websites? Oh, and do you do newsletters? And so we started turning those, oh, do you, into lines of service. So on the creative side, what we've landed on that seems to be a really sweet spot for our team, WordPress websites, social media management, graphic design, and then we do newsletters as well, and that crosses over a little bit on our admin side as well. But most of our admins are able to do that as well.
So I'm curious, as an entrepreneur or business owner, because I suffer from this ooh factor. Ooh, do you do this? Ooh, can you do that? Ooh, that looks interesting. Maybe I should go after that. Where did you draw the line between, ooh, yeah, we can do that too. Ooh, I'm spreading myself too thin. What was that like for you?
So that was a nice little lesson. We were supporting a client who needed a lot of hand-holding. They were not tech savvy. So in one aspect, what happened was we were walking her through projects and, you know, she didn't want to do them certain ways. She didn't understand the technology. And that's okay. You don't have to. That's our role. But we also need you to be able to go ahead and give it the blessing and trust us for what you hired us to do. And so what we felt like was at a certain point, we got to where we couldn't articulate it well enough. And we said, maybe this isn't the right fit for us. If we can't articulate what it is that we're doing, then maybe this client is not the right fit. Maybe this line of service is not the right fit. And we've actually eliminated lines of services that we have initiated with the intention of growth. And I know a lot of business owners do that. Oh, we're going to do this now. And they anticipate all this great growth. But it's almost like starting a whole new business sometimes.
You know, I love that insight that you share, and there's so many things that I picked up on this. It's sometimes we say, hey, I've got a can-do attitude. I can continue to do more. I'm thinking in terms of maybe the emerging leader. And sometimes we take on more work to prove to the world our value, and we can go in a lot of different directions. But there's a sweet spot to the point where it becomes wasteful of your time. It drains your energy, and you're no longer shining in the area that you should be. So sometimes it's a hard nut to crack to be able to say, let me pull back a little bit. I am human. I want to enjoy life and not be stressed. I want to be able to serve the people I can using my best skills. So I love that insight, knowing when to pull back a little bit and maybe say this isn't the right direction. You know, the other thing that I really like what you said was that peeling back to grow. Because I too, and this is, again, our listeners get the benefit of listening to you and I just, you know, talking about our careers. I started pushing myself out there. I'm starting to network a lot more. I am trying to find those ponds to fish in to try to develop more relationships that could develop into relationships I can serve people. It's exhausting. And just knowing where to play and where not to play. And then sometimes you have to say, like, let's just not work too hard. The word is out there. Your reputation is out there. The website is out there. Just wait, and the kind of business will come. I don't know if you've had that experience at all where you push, but maybe if you started pulling back a little bit, things start gelling. Have you had anything like that happen to you?
Not specifically with sales. I actually usually find the opposite with sales, that you have to constantly nurture your pipeline. And it could be nothing more than just reaching out and saying, hey, do you want to do a quick coffee chat on Zoom? Nurturing your pipeline doesn't mean sales specifically, but there's a lot of things with those contacts that you've already spent your time creating that you can and should be doing to keep those lines open. Because after all, you did spend your time to initiate that contact, whether it was in a networking meeting, reaching out to them on LinkedIn, you happen to bump into them at a meeting, whatever. Okay. So you spent that time already. And if you don't keep those communication lines open in some kind of way, then you wind up wasting it. So I have actually done the opposite. There may be times where I slow it down some, but not just, I don't do the field of dreams thing. I don't like build it and they will come.
And really, really sound advice. You know, when I was in a corporate role, I networked a lot within. So people knew who I was and I was able to leverage those resources when I needed them. But I didn't do so much when it came to the outside environment. So now I do nurture, but it's a great reminder for people that from your professional organizations, you meet up at these organizations and you have great conversation, but always remember, connect with them outside and continue to build that relationship. So really sound advice.
Thank you.
But I want to get really close to quality manager at Coca-Cola. I am still in the flavors industry. I used to do business with Coca-Cola with a company called Givaudan as well as IFF. So I'm very grateful for that. What was it like early in that career? What did you like about that role? Because I too have a quality background as well.
I worked, a lot of people think, oh, corporate. No, I worked in manufacturing. I was not on the corporate side. So I was very much fulfilling my initial dream out of high school. I wanted to be a scientist, and I got a chance to be a scientist, which doesn't relate at all to what I do now, other than the company actually taught me some very valuable things. So it was a male-dominated industry in manufacturing, okay? Both the people working on the manufacturing floor as well as management, very heavily male. Moving up in there was a challenge sometimes, I'll be perfectly honest with you. The company I worked at two different ones. Coca-Cola's kind of work as franchises. One sort of did have a good old boy network, the other one not. And that was the latter one that I worked at. So they taught me some great things. I think everybody at one point should work with a big company just so they know what the differences are. You know, I know I've heard people say like everybody should go into the military just, you know, so they know. But I think working at a larger company, and it doesn't have to be as big as Coca-Cola, but working at a larger company gives you an idea of how to run a company. I mean, I learned so much about operations there. And that wouldn't have been possible if I had gone to, I don't know, someplace else, a smaller manufacturer even, I might not have learned those sorts of things. But I know I got many, many opportunities there that I'm extraordinarily grateful. Water treatment, wastewater treatment, those were all things that fit into that job, which I would have never expected going into it. I got to do a little bit of R&D there. So I would say overall, the job was, it was challenging, but in a really good way.
So this is what I love about you. You are so positive. You have such a can-do attitude. And I, too, am grateful for my corporate experience. And what's really great about it is you have all these resources at your disposal, whether it's IT, HR, people in R&D, as you said. And then when you go into small business, you look around the room and say, where are my people? So you have a great appreciation for all of those resources. But I just want to go in another place about you personally, and then we're going to go into the how you serve your clients. You have this can-do attitude. You did mention a little bit about a relative being a mentor of yours, but what has inspired you is that other than just having that grit to say, I am going to do this, were there any people that inspired you along the way that helped you frame your mindset or validate who you are and what you were doing?
There was one of my supervisors, managers at Coca-Cola, and I've lost touch with her over the years. However, she, first of all, again, male-dominated industry. She was the first female manager that I saw come in there. And I was super excited about that. And just watching her, she was actually younger than me, but watching her, and she would mentor me. She would teach me how to do things and go beyond. And I'm not talking about technical things in the lab. I knew how to do those things. But just teaching me about people managing, people styles, where I can go from here, what possibilities look like if I decide to stay either within manufacturing or try to go to corporate Coca-Cola. So she kind of created that vision for me, which just lit a spark.
You know, it is beautiful when somebody actually takes the time to see what you can do and then invest in you. I talk about that in the CEO's Compass, your guide to get back on track, my guide. I can give you a 5-step approach to say, here's what you need to do to run your business, but it's really based on the humans. And if the humans don't have the skills as your business grows or go through change, along the way, you're bound to crash. So it is a worthy investment. We hire great people in the beginning, but we need to continue to nurture the investment in people, just like you nurture businesses now. So I love that story. And you know what? We have to recognize those mentors. I too had somebody along the way, and I've been trying to reach out to them as well because they were so inspirational. So let's go into how you serve people. I'm so excited. What does the individual or business look like that, I don't know, has that aha moment saying, I got to do something different. I need help. Tell me about what that looks like and maybe a story about how you were able to help somebody.
We have a company out of California that assists students with college preparation. And when they first came on, they were relatively new to the industry, though they seemed to have a robust model. They came on board with us about 2016. So they've been with us almost 5 years now. And at that time, we might have been delivering 15 or 20 hours per month. Now we deliver, it's been up and down, and they've hired some people internally, and we're still supporting them, even with hiring people internally to do what we were doing because of their growth. But in the beginning, one of the very first things that we did is because we look at all the processes that as we start doing things like, does this make sense? Are we duplicating things? Are we entering stuff here and then having to enter it here? Can we make those things talk to each other? So we look at all the processes, we look at the technology. And no, this isn't really like a process or technology audit, but we need to make sure internally, I need to make sure I can direct my team on what to do. So if those things are not right from the client side, then we have some fixing that needs to be done. And we can offer them additional services, or they can outsource it wherever, you know, when we tell them what needs to be done. With them, we looked at their processes, and we were able to basically take their lead time from a sale, from the time an inbound lead came in to the closing of a sale, down by 75%. I think it was taking close to 2 weeks, and we got it down to 2 or 3 days.
That is significant. And when I think about what you've shared with me, technically or tactically, you provide administrative services, again, so they can do what they're good at and outsource or delegate to others that can do it as well, if not better. But the true value is that you brought in an outside perspective, a process improvement perspective. They couldn't see the complexity of their system, and you distilled it down to something that is much more efficient. I'm wondering if you've ever thought about yourself as kind of a business administration operations optimization entity versus simply administrative support.
There has been some thought put into that recently. I've recently had another client ask me to do project management for them because they're seeing disconnects internally in their company. And, you know, when they were talking to me, they said, you know, the biggest common denominator is your company is plays a part in all these pieces. So having somebody from your company who can marry all of them together and make sure that each of them are sharing the appropriate amount of information with each other so they know what, because it's a very multifaceted, complex company. That's what they were looking for. So yes, that is actually something that's on the table right now, talking about developing for the next phase of DCA.
Because that's so cool. Again, these things come to me while we're talking. So often we look at operations and manufacturing where we bring in really smart people to optimize those processes, bring processes closer together so you don't have as many handoffs. That's my background, lean operational excellence. But it's so interesting that, you know, you have to lead with that because if you add more administrative staff on top of a broken process, you're really not going to get the true value. But you lead with making their organization more efficient. And by the way, I can then provide that service to you. Really cool. Something you should be thinking about because I don't hear about administrative optimization. Administrative optimization is just an extension of what you were already doing in operations when you were a quality leader. So I don't know that much about you. When you are not leading a company, what brings you peace of mind? What do you like to do when you are not in the throes of leading a company? Because I think that's even equally important to understand who is Denise.
So if I'm just goofing off with time, I watch or read sci-fi. Not a normal genre for a female, but I love it. It's my escape place. Uh-huh. And then the other thing is my granddaughter.
Beautiful. You know, you just said something and I just want to just mention it to you. Not being typical is actually really important. I'm not the typical female. I don't have the typical interest. I happen to be a curler. Ooh, I never met anybody nice. Who curled before. So I think one thing just for listeners here is we shouldn't really hide or excuse what we do that brings us great joy and passion because that's what makes us each interesting. So somebody is not ready to use your services, but they're starting to feel a little uncomfortable. They've been playing with the idea, but they're not quite yet. Even somebody who is in a corporate role, what can they do now to potentially improve the way they do their administrative tasks, their roles? How can they improve their processes? Because if you can share with them a little bit now, they can make some easy changes. Maybe that starts getting them ready to consider using your services in the future.
So if it's a matter of struggling with time, you know, systemizing some things, for instance, blocking your calendar for this hour for only email returns and turning your email off during those other hours so that you can actually focus on those other things. So if you're not quite ready to use us and still need to do all those things yourself, you have to find a way to get your time in alignment to allow you to do so. Okay. So that's my first suggestion is the calendar blocking. Very simple, straightforward. That's not new advice to anybody. But if they're not ready, that's what I would do. As they're prepping to get ready, I would start making a list. Okay. I do this. Boy, I really don't like doing it. So I always tell people there's three types of items you put on the list. One is that you start with the things that you just really don't like to do. Okay. That don't require specialized expertise that you have. Okay. Second, highly repetitive things. Those are usually going to be the first things that you would give off simply because it creates that time balance very quickly. Okay. They're highly repetitive, easily learned. And then the third item is, for instance, small business owners, social media. A lot of them do their own social media. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. However, there comes a time. There comes a time where in order for you to evolve, you have to let that go. And you have to be able to engage a company or an individual with it. I don't recommend your intern and I don't recommend your nephew necessarily for it. But you will need to come to a time where you have to find a company or someone who's trained in that to do your social media and make sure your messaging is clear when it goes out to those social channels. And that, honestly, most business owners, even with just a small amount of social media, are spending 6 to 10 hours per month on it. And so that's an easy release of hours.
really, really actionable tips. I like what you don't like to do, what is highly repetitive. And even if you think it takes a minute, a transaction, it adds up. And time is either something you give back to the business or give back to yourself as a gift. But I really like the social media thing. I will add one caveat to it. You can't totally relinquish the social media. You can from the administrative perspective, but it's also important as a business owner that you have still some creative direction, that whoever is doing your social media owns your voice. I mean, I have somebody helping me, but we talk every single week about what that content looks like. I actually do write at least one long form post a week because I need to still get my thought leadership, but then everything else is triggered off of that and they fall in step. So really, really great advice. I'm going to be bringing this to a close. I am grateful that I've had the opportunity to connect with you, get to know your story, because I think that's even more impactful than simply what you do. But if people were starting to think about outsourcing some of these services because they don't like it, it's highly repetitive, and maybe social media is becoming a time suck, what is the best way that people can connect with you and learn more?
My website would be the first place. That is dcavirtual.com. D as in dog, C as in cat, A as in apple, and the word virtual.com. And then you can always connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Denise Kagan with a C, C-A-G-A-N. And then, you know, on my website, there's contact forms. They come directly to me. We're still a small company. It's not going to go through 10 different layers before it gets to me. I'll see it. So definitely reach out to me that way.
Denise, I am grateful for having the opportunity to get to know you, bring your story, as well as how you help small businesses to my audience. I simply want to wish you continued success and thank you.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO Podcast. My new book, The CEO's Compass, will change the way you think about leadership, navigate rapid transformation, and elevate the leaders of tomorrow. If you're feeling off track, the CEO's Compass assessment will guide you to peace of mind in days, not months. You can learn more about the CEO's Compass by visiting my website at dropinceo.com. Now go out and lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.